Chris. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing? You doing well? Good, good, good. Well, if you've been with us since the start of the year, you will know that we identify four areas that we felt God leading us into to identify and to focus on in terms of where we were going, things that we felt God wanted us to develop and hone as we move forward as a church. We'd celebrated 20 years of our history, 20 years since Open Door was planted, and we were kind of seeking, God, what do you want us to do for the next season? And there were four things we felt were important for this year. One of those was to develop our small group life. We've been looking at launching a number of new types of groups, which we're still in the process of. We had a great meeting a couple of weeks ago with people that are exploring that. And we're aiming for five new groups that are very missionally focused to get out into this town by the end of the year. We also spoke about pursuing our own building. You'll remember we had a great pledge day a couple of months ago now. And we raised a fantastic amount of money, nearly £90,000 towards our pledge day for having our own building, which we're really grateful for, really excited about. Thirdly, we felt the area of prayer was really important for us to focus on. We've been doing the 3-2-1 prayer focus, which many people have signed up for. We've had a bit of teaching into prayer as well. We're also looking at how we pray together as a church and trying some new things in the autumn, which we'll be telling you about in due course. And fourthly, the fourth area we felt that was important for us to focus on was to be clear on what our purpose is as a church and what our culture, or the culture we want to have as a church, to be clear on that. Why we exist and how we want to live, if you want to put it in those terms. And today we're starting a new series, which we're going to look at for about 6 weeks, where we're going to explore this whole area of culture. And we've called this series Intentional Culture. See, it's really important to know the overall purpose of why we exist as a church. And we've defined that as the fact that Open Door Church exists to help people receive, respond to, and display God's love. And I've already taught into that, and others have as well. And it's vital that we have vision, it's vital that we have strategy, it's vital that we have purpose and goals to aim for. But it's also extremely crucial that we understand the type of people that we want to be on that journey. The type of characteristics that we want to be strong in, the identity that we want to have as a church family, and all of those things you could encapsulate under the term culture. Every group has a culture, whether that be a team, a sports team, or a team in the business world, or you know, anywhere where you've got a team of people working together, there's a culture that comes together. In the staff room, in your workplace, you will have a culture, which might be a positive one or a negative one. You'll know just by being in it. Your friendship group has a culture, the way you relate to one another. Your family has a culture. Your church has a culture. Your town has a culture. Wherever groups come together, there is a culture, whether you like it or not. And without doubt, you could spend time with any group of people and you could come away with a list of characteristics, identity characteristics, which describe them. Some of those words may be positive, some of those words may be negative. Now, to introduce this, I just want to show you a one-minute clip, which is out of one of the Alpha Talks. The Alpha Talk that is all about, what about the church? And this is just some people on the streets that have been interviewed and asked, what are their views of the church? And it's interesting, just listen to the kinds of words that people use to describe the church. Some positive, some negative. Okay, so hopefully the video will play. Basically, if we'd have been able to watch that video, what you will find is that people on the streets, as you might expect, have got very mixed views about what the church looks like and what Christians look like. So some of the words you would have heard used, things like peaceful, backwards, beautiful, hypocritical, community, boring, all kind of words that are used to describe the church. And the question for us this morning is, how do we want Open Door Church to be known? How do we want Open Door Church to be characterized by and described by people within it, people who come and visit us, but also people who hear about us or people we encounter as we are out and about our daily lives? We already have a culture, in fact. We may not have thought or taught that much on it before, we might have done, I'm not sure. But I wonder what words you would use right now to describe Open Door Church. I'm not talking about what we do, I'm talking about who we are. And over this next few weeks, we're going to consider this, and we're going to deliberately talk about what do we want our culture to be like? What do we want to aim for it to be like? How would we want to be described? And also, how do those culture characteristics, how do they display themselves in different aspects of our life? So not only when we gather together, but when you go to your workplace, you carry a culture with you. When you go home to your family, when you meet up with the people on your street, you carry something of the culture of Open Door. What does that look like for us to take out? So, I want to really cover three areas today. Why talk about culture? What culture do we want to have? And how are we going to do it? They're the three things, the why, what, and how. So firstly, why talk about culture? Firstly, because we want to be biblical. Okay, you've got to understand this is not just a new phase. This is not just something we've taken out of business, a business idea. God has always been interested in how people live. The Bible is full of descriptions of the characteristics that God wants his people to have. And in the Old Testament, you'll read time and time again, God gave guidelines to the people of Israel, not just about what they should do, but about how they should live and how they should relate to one another. And then Jesus extended that when he taught his disciples. He did say some things about what they should go and do, ministry-wise, if you like, but he also spoke a lot about character and the type of people he wanted them to be. And then that flowed into the establishing of the earliest churches that we read about in the New Testament. Just look at this description in Romans chapter 12 for a list of kind of culture identity statements. Listen to this. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. See how it's talking about characteristics that Paul was saying, this is what your church should look like. This is what a group of believers should look like. So we want to be biblical. Secondly, we want to be intentional. That's why we've called this series Intentional Culture. The plan is to define the culture, to set out, if you like, the culture that we want to aim for. Because if we don't define it, if we don't sort of say, this is what it is, this is what we're looking to grow up amongst us, then it will just develop by accident. It will get shaped by the loudest voices, and it will just happen. And Jesus realized this. He spoke to his disciples. The final words that Jesus gave to his disciples in Matthew 28 were these. So final, the most, you know, if you think, Jesus, these were the last words whilst he was on earth that he was going to give to his disciples. They must have been important. He must have thought, what am I going to say? This is what he said. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now that word that is translated as obey, or in some versions that the word there is observe, to observe everything I've commanded you, that word literally means to guard or to protect. Jesus is saying, I want you, my disciples, to guard the ways of thinking, the ways of behaving that he's taught them. And our word culture means a similar thing. It comes from the Latin word to guard or to till. It's where we get our word for the word cultivate. And if you think about what you do when you cultivate an area, what you're essentially doing is marking out a boundary. You're saying, this is the area that we are going to mark out. And within this area, we are going to agree what we want to grow in that area and what we want to weed out. That's what it means to cultivate a piece of land. And that's exactly what we want to do as a church family. We want to say, okay, we've got a boundary. This is our church family. Within that boundary, we want to talk about what characteristics do we want to encourage to grow up? What do we want to plant? What do we want to water? What do we want to prune? Where do we want to see fruit growing up? But also, what weeds do we need to pull out that are preventing those characteristics growing up? And so it's really important that we're intentional about this. Now, it's also important for me to say at this point that this is not to say that the culture we already have is all negative. There'll be good things in our culture at the moment. There'll be things that we don't like as much. And so I don't want you to hear this series as harsh criticism. No, this is about developing what we already see that's good amongst us as a church, but developing it further and being more intentional to really see these characteristics grow up amongst us. So we want to be biblical. We want to be intentional. We also want to be missional. See, church is all about offering something that is different and appealing to the world. See, much of what the culture of what people experience in the world is all about living for yourself. It's all about living. A lot of people are living with fear. A lot of people are living with unforgiveness and brokenness. And we have an incredible opportunity to be a community who offer something more positive, a positive alternative, a culture which is attractive, a culture which brings people from a place of loneliness and isolation to a place where they feel valued in community, a place where people maybe outside are feeling uncared for or undervalued, a place where people feel that there's no hope, bringing them into a community where actually they feel actually there is a sense of purpose, there's a sense of hope. That's what church should be like. The church, again, if we'd have seen the video, the church, you would see, so often people see that the way people describe church is that the church says no to stuff all the time, that we're boring because we just say no all the time. You can't do this, you can't do that. But actually, I want us as a church, Open Door Church, to be known not just for, well, not at all for saying no to stuff, although we want to stand up for what's right and what's biblical, but we want to offer something better. We want to offer something that attracts people. We want to offer something people that draws them in. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We want to have a culture that shines brightly against the backdrop of our town. Again, important to say that not everything in the world is bad. Not everything. You will know many individuals and many groups within this town, people that you're close to, people that you're friends with, that do much good. Many individuals that stand up for injustice, that care about others, that add real benefit to society. But the question when you meet people like that that don't know Jesus, the question is if they can feel that compassionate and caring and loving towards others and towards the town without knowing Jesus, then how much more should we be able to feel that kind of way? How much more should we want to create something positive which displays the love of God, that draws people into a place of knowing that there's a God who loves them? And you know, what we're talking about here is, I think, part of what was probably described last week when people came back from Catalyst. I know a number of people at the Catalyst Festival were really impacted by one of the talks that was given about the ordinary things of the kingdom. And you know, we know and we recognize that the kingdom grows through the extraordinary. We want to go after those things. We want to go after the kind of people getting healed. We want to go after the incredible stories of breakthrough wherever we go. Those things are good. But at the same time, the kingdom also grows in the ordinary. The kingdom also grows slowly as we live out a culture which is positive, which people see. And over time, they say, actually, there's something there that is drawing me towards the church and drawing me towards God. That's what this is about. So that's why we feel it's important at this point to talk about culture. Let me answer the second question. What kind of culture are we looking to create? Well, this is something that we've been considering with our leadership team over a number of months. This is not just the elders that have sat down and talked about this. We've our whole kind of group of leaders, people leading in all walks of life. We've gathered together to look at what is the kind of culture that we want to display and be known for as a church. We've prayed, we've discussed, we've fed back, and we've tried to capture what we feel is the heart of how God wants us to relate to one another, the characteristics we want to be known for, in five words, if you like. Now, you will understand that we can't do that in just five words. There are many things that we would want to be, many characteristics that are biblical and that we would want to display that hopefully will come under one of these five. But we felt it's really important to be simple about this so that we can grasp hold of it, live with it, and display it and live it out. And so this is what we have come up with. As a church family, we are intentionally aiming to grow in love, joy, honor, courage, and devotion. And what I want to do is just briefly give an overview of each of those five, and then over the next 5 weeks, we're going to unpack each of those things. What does that look like? What does it mean for us? How does that look in our families? How does that look in the workplace? How does that look in the church? Let me read that again. As a church family, we are intentionally aiming to grow in love, joy, honor, courage, and devotion. And I genuinely believe if we can grow in these areas, there will be something powerful about it. There will be something different as we begin to grow in it. Others will see it and will be drawn to us as a community as a result of that. So firstly, love. Look at these verses from 1 Corinthians 13, very, very famous verses. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I said there were lots of characteristics we want to display that we could put under each of these five headings that we've gone for, but actually most of them could be put under love, couldn't they? That description of love. We want to be a church that is marked out by love. A love that is demonstrated in compassion and kindness and generosity and grace. A people who practically offer real love to one another in the church. Do you know, we talk about the church being God's family, don't we? We talk about being brothers and sisters in Christ. That's who God's made us. We've been adopted into a family. But I want us to, and we're good at this already, okay? We often hear comments from people that come in amongst us. Often one of the things, you know, Chris and his family last week, who were here for their last Sunday, Chris Douglas, and I know he met up with Chris this week. It was really emotional, kind of saying goodbye to the family, because he's realized that he's been loved by people in the church, small group life, and so on. And we're already good at it, but we can grow. We can definitely develop in this area. But it's not just about when we come together. It's when people come in amongst us as well. I love that we've had a phrase that we've kind of clung to at Open Door over the years, belong before you believe. Have you heard us say that? We may not have used it recently, but belonging before you believe. The point of that is to say that people should be able to feel like they can come in amongst us and belong and be part of our community even before they come to know Jesus as their Savior. Belonging before they believe. That's the kind of church that we want to have. From the first moment that someone walks in to this door, in amongst us, whether it be on a Sunday morning, whether it be into one of your small group meetings, whether it be into our youth work or our kids work, whether it be into one of, whether it be when they meet you and they encounter you and they realize that you go to Open Door Church and that's in the workplace, that conversation happens, that they would feel loved and welcomed and accepted. They feel like they could belong. But it even goes beyond that. People coming in amongst us, just as I was talking about, going out, wherever we go, to our boss, to our staff, to our neighbours, to our shopkeeper, the person who's being difficult on the phone and making life difficult for us, the person who's, our parents or our children, all of those things. We want to be loving towards people. We want to be a church that is noticed for the way that we love. I heard a great story this week about some Christians who went out just to demonstrate love in a practical way to people who don't normally get a lot of gratitude. And all they did was took some chocolate bars and some cakes out onto the streets to look for people that don't normally get thanked. And they came across a traffic warden. And you know, when you think of a traffic warden, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? How do you want to act towards a traffic warden? And they gave this lady a bar of chocolate or a cake or whatever it was. And this lady was so moved that she nearly was in tears, because what she normally receives from people is abuse. What she normally receives from people is a kind of an argument or a heated debate at the least, or maybe even, you know, someone attempting to drive their car over the foot or whatever it might be. But because these Christians have gone out and looked to display love in a very practical way, very cheap,
not an expensive way, it made a real difference. Now, we can all do that, can't we, wherever we go? We can take this culture characteristic, this identity out onto the streets. And that's what I want us to do. Okay, let's move on. Joy, second one, joy. Philippians 4, 4 to 6 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We want to encourage a culture within the boundaries of this church family. One of the things we want to water and grow and encourage is an attitude of joy, that we would be a joyful people. We've used the phrase before that we want to enjoy God and enjoy life. And that's not just something which we want to be a catchy phrase. We want it to be true. You see, if we know God's love, and again, I've said this before, but I think it needs repeating. If we know God's love as a people, as a community, we should be the most joyful community in the town, along with the other churches. Any group of people that knows God's love for them should be the most joyful people in the whole world. Is that not true? Is that true? Yeah, it's true. Even if our circumstances are difficult, when we look at God's goodness, it gives us a way through. You know, we can quote those verses that I read from Philippians. They're still up here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Do you know where Paul was when he wrote those verses? He was in prison. He was chained up. And he was writing those things. He was in the midst of deep trouble, deep difficult circumstances. And yet he was still able to say, rejoice in the Lord always. I want Open Door to be a church that is described like this. How does that get displayed? Let's just talk a bit practically. Well, firstly, being a people that love to worship, being a people who have gratitude and thanksgiving that wells up in our hearts. That's part of what it means to live in a joyful community, have a joyful culture, gratitude, thanksgiving, worship. It also means to be a people who love to have fun and enjoy the good things in creation. Again, not just saying no to the stuff we shouldn't be doing, but actually enjoying the good things in life. Enjoying all that God has made and kind of made available to us to enjoy. Let's make the most of it. This should be a community. We should be a community that smile a lot and laugh a lot together. You know, we shouldn't be too serious when we get together. There should be joy and laughter and fun. In our family, we should be a people who can find contentment in very little. Where the world says, okay, what's the next thing that you're going after? What's the next thing that you need to make you happy? You know, Paul talks about the fact that actually we find contentment in little because we know God's love for us. That's the kind of community that we want to be. Has anyone been watching the recent Bear Grylls program, The Island? Anyone watched any of that? A few of you. Basically, the idea of the program is Bear Grylls takes these kind of two groups, one group of men, about 14 men at the start, 14 women with the other group, and drops them on these two islands in the middle of nowhere with nothing, given about three knives and basically told to go and survive. And they have to go and they have to find water and they have to start fire and they have to basically survive, hunt for food and all that kind of stuff. And one of the things that I noticed as I watched it was that the importance of staying positive. Okay, there were many people who started off positive but quite quickly began to think about things of home and began to focus on the things that they didn't have. I haven't got a tap that turns water on. I haven't got a bed that is comfortable and enables me to sleep. I haven't got protection from all the little insects that are biting my ankles and all the rest of it. As soon as they start to think about all the things they haven't got, they want to give up. And some of them left the island within a matter of hours as a result of that. But there were other people who were positive, even when things were hard. Even when their skin was bitten and itchy and horrible all the way up, they were still thankful for the experience they were having. They were thankful for the tin can that they found that they could heat water up in. See, even being thankful with the small things keeps you strong. The Bible puts it like this, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you become content with little, when you become joyful, even in the little that God gives us. God gives us loads, actually, but sometimes it doesn't feel like that. Sometimes we think, oh, I've only got a little. When you become content in those things and joyful in those things, it makes us strong. And I'm not talking about just putting on a false smile, because we can all put false smiles on even when we're not feeling it on the inside, can't we? But finding fulfillment in God's love, whatever is going on around you, putting the focus on him, that seeing things from his perspective will give us a way through, not just to put in a false smile on, but actually feeling joyful. That's the kind of community we want to be. Thirdly, honor. We want to be intentionally looking to grow as a church in the whole area of honor. Now, it's important that we understand what the biblical meaning of honor is. I think love and joy, we probably get that straight away. But the word honor is not one which we use or talk about a great deal. I think there's misunderstanding about the word, and we're going to teach into this. But biblically, honor is all about appreciating the intrinsic value of something. So if you like, recognizing the God-given value in ourselves and in other people. Just look at these verses that we read about in Scripture. Revelation 4 says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor." So that's the starting place, that God is worthy of all honor. Ultimately, all honor, all glory belongs to him. But then we read this in John chapter 12. Jesus speaking, he says, "My Father will honor the one who serves me." See, God honors, bestows honor on people. And you think, wow, if God honors others, then surely we should honor other people too, those around us. And absolutely that is the case. Romans 12, verse 10, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." As a church, we want to grow in this understanding and in the way that we behave towards others as we honor them. This gets worked out in many different ways. Firstly, it affects the way that you view yourself. Because as you begin to understand the value, the intrinsic God-given value in you as an individual, that deals with feelings of rejection. That deals with feelings of low self-worth. When we feel, actually, I'm nothing. I'm not worth anything to anybody. I've messed up. When you realize what God has put in you, when you realize that God has made you in his image, suddenly it begins to come against those kind of feelings. When we view ourselves in the way that God intends us to, it comes against comparison with others, the way that we see ourselves compared to other people, whether that be, I'm so much better than that other person, or I'm so much worse than that other person, why can't I just be like them? As we begin to honor one another and ourselves, all of these things begin to flow out. The way we view others, it's so easy to get judgmental and to be those that gossip, isn't it? It's so easy to be those that disrespect one another, dishonor one another. As we begin to honor one another more, what we'll find is our levels of acceptance of others will begin to grow. The way that we view our parents, the way that we view our family, the Bible specifically talks about honoring your mother and your father. Honor in the family setting is really, really important as well. So we're going to look at all of those kind of things. But as we grow in this, I really believe this is going to be powerful for us. I remember when I was teaching, I used to be a teacher before I worked for the church. I remember being in the staff room in the workplace, which I guess is the experience for many, most people in this room, anyone that works in this room, most of you work in a setting where there's going to be some believers maybe, but many unbelievers as well. And I remember it being a place where often there would be kind of moaning and negativity, either towards children in the school or towards parents of those children or towards other staff who are kind of doing things differently to the way we would want it to. It's so easy to get drawn into that kind of way of thinking, that kind of way of talking. And even as we were going through, even I was preparing this, I was going through this, a situation came to mind. There was a guy who was kind of overseeing me, my line manager, and to be honest, I didn't like the way he did things. He really undermined me, I felt, with parents and that kind of thing. I felt God point it out to me and say, you need to repent of that. You need to forgive this guy. Yes, I don't agree with what he did, but I recognize that the way that I spoke about him to Angela and to others, and the way that I was dismissive of things that he said was not honoring to him, it was dishonoring to him. And this has got huge implications for the workplace. There's a real opportunity as we begin to honor to bring the light of Jesus, the light of God, into dark situations. And so it's something we want to grow in. Fourthly, the whole area of courage. Acts 4, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole of the Bible. It gives me such great hope to know that Peter and John were unschooled, ordinary men. But the fact is, men and women of great courage make a huge difference. Men and women of great courage make a huge difference, particularly when it comes to the areas of faith, the areas of God. And we want to be a church that is known for our courage. That, and again, this is displayed in many different ways. That can be courage in terms of expectant faith, to go on adventures with God, to pray for healing, pray for the sick, to pray for people to come to know God out on the streets. Those kind of risk-taking moments. It could be courage to be bold and to stand up for what we believe when others are coming against it, getting involved in discussions, getting involved in debate, getting involved in opportunities to bring truth where the truth is not being heard. It could be courage to take risks and to step out into areas where God has gifted you, or even areas where God hasn't gifted you, but you just feel like God's calling you to be obedient in particular areas. There's so many different ways that we can be demonstrating courage. That the Bible is full of people, men and women, that took steps of courage and took risks. You know, there's not many stories in the Bible that you can read where you read it and you think, okay, there was no element of risk. There was no element of nobody needing to step out and courage your faith in that story. Every single story that you read, you pick that up, don't you? That's what the Christian life is like. It involves courage. It involves backbone. It involves being strong. And we can think about that in the church setting, but also it goes wider. You know, when you are in your workplace, or maybe you're in a situation where you're in a job and you're wondering, do I leave this job to go for another job? Sensing that God has got something new for you. Sometimes people feel that, don't they? They feel like, okay, actually I'm comfortable in this job and I could stay in it for forever, but actually God's calling me to something new. That takes a step of faith to do that. It takes courage. Apologizing to a colleague where you've done something wrong, that takes courage. Owning up to your mistakes, you know, I can think of a number of times since I've been involved in the leadership here at Open Door where lots of different examples of people taking steps of courage, taking steps of faith as they've kind of moved out in different ways. But to be honest, some of the most courageous steps that I've seen people take have been when they've gone to someone and they said, I am struggling with this area in my life. That is one of the most courageous things that someone can do. And if you do it early enough, you can still get help with that area. You know, if it's to do with a relationship, the relationship can still be saved. If it's to do with whatever kind of area you are struggling with, you can get help when you make that step of courage. That is the kind of church that I want us to be, where we're prepared to say, okay, I need to get this out in the open. I need to confess it so that it can be dealt with. That requires courage. Okay, let's move on. Fifthly, devotion. Acts 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Titus 3, verse 14. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good. Devotion is a word which gets used a lot in the Bible to describe those who follow God. And again, we want it to be a word which can be used to describe us as a community. We're marking out our boundary, Open Door Church. We want to be known to be people of devotion, people of commitment, people of dedication, people who are faithful and reliable, people who are servant-hearted. That could be devoted to God through connecting with Him in prayer. We've spoken a bit about prayer so far. We want to go on building into that. We want to be devoted in prayer. We want to be devoted to understanding our Bibles better. But also we want to be devoted to one another as brothers and sisters and as family. Not giving up when someone offends you and kind of just writing them off. Or when you see that there's a job that needs doing in the family for the family to function well, getting involved and being devoted to serving in that area. That's part of what it is to be church. Being devoted to the things that God has called you to, whether that be in the church, whether that be kind of in the workplace, whether that be in your family, to the role that you've got, whether you're a husband or a wife or a father or a mother, a child, whatever your kind of position, whatever your role, be devoted to doing it the best that you can for God. I had a really encouraging story that I heard the other day that I'm going to embarrass someone now in this, I was with Steve Bresnan, who is kind of traveling to Australia, and Steve was talking to me. He's kind of high, very high up in his workplace. He meets kind of with the managers in the business, top of the hierarchy, as it were. And he was in a meeting with other managers, and they were discussing a particular project that they needed to get move forward on, as it were. And the question came up, what is it that we need to move this project on? And the answer came back, actually, what we need is we need three more people who are like Christine. Now, Christine works with Steve. I don't know if you may not even know this, Christine, but that is what was discussed in this meeting. We need three more people who are like Christine. This is what Steve told me. And I was just my heart leapt, and I thought, yeah, this is someone who's been devoted to their job and working hard in the workplace, showing what it means to be devoted and committed and dedicated, and people in the kind of management are noticing it. And that's what we're talking about. We're not just talking about being devoted here in this church, being devoted to one another, being devoted to serving hard for the church. We're talking about being devoted wherever you go, whatever God calls you to do. Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Each one of us can be devoted wherever we go to doing things for God's glory. Are you with me? You understanding this? Okay, so that is the culture that we want to have. We want to be a people that are looking to intentionally grow in love, joy, honor, courage, devotion. Let me very quickly wrap this up with, how are we going to achieve this? How is this going to happen? How is this going to grow in us? Rather than just being a single sermon or a kind of a series of sermons, how are we going to make sure that we become this church that is known for these things? Well, firstly, we need to apply it into every part of church life. For us to be able to say that this is our culture, that this is Open Door Church, kind of the characteristics and the identity that we have, it needs to go right across the church. It needs to go into every small group. It needs to go into every team. It needs to go right across every age group. So if you're in a group or you're in a team, I want to ask you, begin to talk together about what does it look like for this team to be more loving or to be more courageous or be more devoted, to honor one another. What does that actually look like? And you may not know right now, but hopefully as we talk about this over the next few weeks, it will give you some thoughts and some ideas. How can we honor one another in our team better than we already do? Make sure everyone in your team and your group is listening to these sermon series and catching hold of this. We really believe this is something that God is speaking to us and wanting us to define and wanting us to push forward in. Make sure everyone is kind of on board with it. And even if they're not here today, I know over these next few weeks and over kind of May, June, July, August, people start drifting off, holidays are happening and all good stuff. We want to have joy. We want to enjoy life, good things in life. But don't miss out on what God is saying to us as a church right now. Start talking this through together. What does it look like for you as a team to live these things out? It's got to be applied in every part of church life. Secondly, it needs everyone to play their part. This is similar, I know, but everyone playing their part, and that means everywhere that you go as well. This is not just about the elders or a few leaders. This is everybody, all of us involved. Do you know, only you get to go to the places that you go to. I don't get to go to your workplace. I don't get to go to the hobby that you have and the club that you're part of. I don't get to meet your next door neighbors. I don't get to be part of your friendship group necessarily, all of you. And you have an opportunity to take these things out, take this culture out. What does it look like? I'm not part of your family. What does it look like to be more loving in a family context? Practically, not just, you know, love is a word we can use a lot in our lives, isn't it, as Christians? We say we're loving, but what does that practically look like? How can we look to grow in it? Anyone feel that they've kind of reached the pinnacle of love, that there's no more, you know, they've reached they're the most loving now that they ever could be? Okay, none of us feel like that, do we? So what do we need to do to grow, keep growing in love? What does it look like to honor God in your workplace or in your friendship group, the way that you speak and the way that you behave with others? What steps of courage is God asking you to take in the church or outside of the church, wherever you go? This is not a quick one sermon or five or six sermon fix. This is going to take time. It's something we're going to keep coming back to. It's something that we will want to teach out of the Bible in lots of different ways over time. But if we each take responsibility for ourselves, we can grow in each of these areas as a family, and it will be powerful, and it will change what we look like, and it will change what people think of us as they come in amongst us. Everyone playing their part. And thirdly, finally, giving permission to challenge one another. And that takes courage in itself, doesn't it? Giving permission to challenge and pull one another up on these things. That we would create an environment where we're not afraid to talk together about the times when we get it right. You know, we're often quite happy to tell the stories about when we get it right, aren't we? Some of us. I got it right. You know, I'm really pleased because I was at work and this situation happened, and I kind of looked out for this person that was kind of on the edge. We like to tell those stories more often in our small groups and that kind of thing. We don't as much tell the stories where we get it wrong. Let's create that kind of environment where actually we can be honest and vulnerable with one another. It is inevitable that weeds are going to grow up. As we mark out our area and we say, these are the things we want to grow, it's inevitable that other things are going to grow up that are going to hinder love, joy, courage, honor, and devotion. There's going to be things that come in and push against those things. There's going to be times when we dishonor one another. There's going to be times where we bottle out of a situation where we needed to be courageous and we give in to fear. And actually what we need is to be able to pull up one another on those things and say, do you know, when you spoke to that, I saw you speak to that person the other day, and actually the way that you said that, I'm not sure it honoured them. I'm not sure, you know, what was it that stopped you from taking that step? Was it fear? What was it that was holding you back? As we begin